We're going to take a look at a few verses today in one of my favorite books so that we can understand some difficult scriptures here. But let's go to the book of 2 Peter first, 2 Peter first, because we're going to understand a difficult scripture or set of scriptures in the Bible that people use to tell us we should not keep the commandments of God. And it is said, of course, that it's from the Apostle Paul, who's hard to be understood. But I do want to bring out a point as we begin here in 2 Peter 3 about what Peter said concerning Paul's writing. And as we look into this, we want to understand that if Peter is going to say something about Paul's writing, and, well, let's read it first, then we see where we are when it comes to understanding certain portions of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless." In other words, God does want us to obey the commandments. He does want us to depart from sin. And I say that here because we'll see in the section of scriptures where I'm heading that people use it to say, well, we don't need to worry about being blameless. We don't need to worry about having spots. And then in verse 15, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, and also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." All in the context of being blameless and without spot. "As also in all his epistles," verse 16, "speaking in them of these things." What things? Well, that we should be blameless, without spot. And talking about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. "In which are some things hard to be understood." Now here is an apostle, Peter, who was one of the first apostles. Of course, Paul was chosen later. A man out of season, I believe he explained of himself. But he says, Paul writes things that are hard to understand. Here's another apostle. It'd be like one of us, Mr. Gore and I writing, and I writing something, and then Mr. Gore saying, you know, Greg Sargent writes things that are hard to understand. And that would be kind of what we're talking about here. You have somebody that's a peer, someone on the same level. These are two apostles in this case. And one says of the other, he writes things that are hard to be understood. But notice, which those who are untaught twist. So you can understand it if you're taught. You can understand it if you have the same type of background as the Apostle Paul. If you know where he's coming from, then it's going to be easier to understand. And I'll tell you in advance that where Paul is coming from is understanding of the Old Testament. He was fully aware of the Old Testament. He was one who was taught by Gamaliel. And he taught in a style, nevertheless, even though we could or can understand the Old Testament, he did teach in a style still that was hard to understand. There is no doubt about that. But he, in which things are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. And so he then puts himself in the same category that, you know, some twist what I say too, the Apostle Peter and the other apostles. So with that background, let's go ahead and go to Galatians. The title of the sermon is "The Just Shall Live by Faith." And the last sermon I gave here actually was, is it faith in or faith of? Remember that? Faith of. And we explained that we must have the faith of Christ. And we showed how in Galatians chapter 2 that the words faith in are used exclusively. And faith of is left out. The proper translation is not there. That we are actually justified by having the faith of Christ. Justified, by the way, means keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments. We must keep the commandments. So, big question that we have in this section then is this section promoting the commandments or is it telling us the commandments aren't needed? And it's a good question. It is a very good question because in Galatians 3, verses 10 through 14, Galatians 3, 10 through 14, when we read it, it seems like Justification is only dependent on faith. Now, we're already ahead of the game because we know what it's talking about here. You have to have faith in and faith of both. If you don't have both, then, of course, we're in deep water without a life jacket 40 miles out in the ocean, and we're not going to be able to get back in. So let's go ahead then. And again, the sermon is on the just shall live by faith. Marion said this morning, well, didn't you give that sermon 2 weeks ago? And I said, no, that was a faith in or faith of. But I thought this would come along and kind of be glove in hand, so to speak, and work out well together. So let's go ahead and just read through what it says. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, and actually that word is ethnos, it's the nations, everybody, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so that is the section that is used, and if you look it up, I haven't looked it up recently to see what Protestants say about it, but I have in the past, and I think all of us can take from this, especially since it says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, that Jesus Christ comes along, and he is a curse for us. Well, he is a curse for us, if we understand what that means, but it means that he did it all, he kept the law, he paid the penalty. So basically, what we come down to, and I will give you a paraphrase of this section, okay, of what the world thinks. Here's what the world thinks. And I know that I read through five verses here, and it's like, man, there's so much in there. What is this saying? What is this all about? So a paraphrase would be, becoming right with God is by faith based on the gospel promised to Abraham that is in Christ. Now, that goes back to verse 8. Okay, so that's where they would begin. Becoming right with God. We all want to become right with God. Is by faith based on the gospel promise to Abraham that in Christ, Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. Okay. Those who have faith in Christ are blessed with believing Abraham. That's what it says in verse 9. Okay. That's true. Those of the works of the law are under a curse, because no one can keep everything written in the law. This is a paraphrase that is not necessarily accurate. Okay, I'm giving you the paraphrase based on the world. Those of the works of the law are under a curse because no one can keep everything written in the law. This is what the Protestants would say. And by the way, I go to Galatians because this is the book that has tripped up so many of the members of God's church in the past. And this is one section that we also must understand. So this is what they conclude, and we might believe that and say, well, no one can keep everything written in the law. Is that what it's saying? Why are we supposed to be blameless and without spot if no one can keep everything written in the law? That's in verse 10. Therefore, it's evident that no one is just by obeying law. So see where they go? So, because you can't keep it, so no one is just by obeying law. So, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Well, that's true. The just shall live by faith, but the word just is righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. That's verse 11. And then emphasized again is the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Since it's understood that law requires works, okay? That's the understanding in the context here. That's in verse 12. Therefore, Christ became a curse for us, meaning taking our place for disobedience, dying in our place, paying the penalty, paying the death penalty for us. So in their mind, we don't have to keep the law. That's the conclusion they come to. redeeming us from the curse, meaning death. Again, concluding, we are blessed with God's Spirit just by faith in Christ. We are blessed by faith, with God's Spirit, by faith in Christ, verse 14. So you see where you can go with this? It's amazing what you can do with it. But what understanding do we have here? Well, if we're untaught and we take the New Testament only and we have the Psalms, you know, the little Bibles that they gave out in World War II, the Psalms, and then the Gospels, or the Psalms in the New Testament, pretty small Bibles, but you can get a lot packed in with small font. Whatever the case, you had the Psalms and that's about it in the Old Testament. The Protestants, as I grew up, I think I had David's story. This is in Sunday school in the Lutheran church. I would have had the story of David. I would have had the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I don't think there was too much else, as I think of it, as I grew up in the Protestant church. So not much to go back to. I knew a little bit about Abraham, but I didn't know about any covenant that God gave with Abraham at all. So you, like me, probably had very little background, unless you were raised in the church, very little background with the Old Testament. Well, Paul understood the Old Testament very well. And it's interesting that in this section, Paul goes back to Deuteronomy 27. He goes back to the book of Habakkuk, and he goes to Leviticus 18. And that's understanding that he has. So that's where we're going to go to understand this. We're going to go back to three references that he uses. In your margin, probably, verses 10 through 15, 14, that is, you may have marginal references where these quotes are coming from. But he is quoting Deuteronomy 27, the very last couple verses, if not the last verse. Why is he doing that? Why is he going back to Deuteronomy? He is quoting "The just shall live by faith" from the book of Habakkuk. Why is he going there? Is Paul one to just pull verses out of the Old Testament and expect people not to know the context? And the answer is no. He expects people to be taught. He expects people to know the entire book of Deuteronomy. He expects people to know what Habakkuk says. And also, he expects people to know what Leviticus 18 is all about. He expects that. But if you're untaught, and frankly, until I have really delved into this book, I didn't go back to the references. I knew the reference, and I knew basically what they were being talking about, but I didn't put it in the context of these verses here. So it's very important to know the context, and so we're going to go back. Let's start in verse 10 now. Once again, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. What does that mean, works of the law? We'll come back to it. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I have Deuteronomy 27:26 here in my Bible. And I've gone back to it, and I've gone back to the full context. And the full context of that is Deuteronomy 27:28, 29, and 30. All four chapters, actually the end of 27 and then three more chapters. And if we don't go into all of those chapters, we don't have to go into all of them today. I can speak very, very, very fast and read very, very, very fast, and maybe we can get through it, but that wouldn't help any. But we do need to go back there, and we will toward the end of the sermon, okay? Then you see in verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now that comes out of Habakkuk. So what's going on in the time of Habakkuk with the just shall live by faith, the righteous shall live by faith? What's going on in that period of time? Yet the law is not of faith, but... And let me just add right here, the word "but" is wrong. The law is not of faith. That word "but" should be "nevertheless." If you look at it, I believe it's A-L-L-A, Allah. Nevertheless, it can be translated that way. It is translated that way. Nevertheless, the just shall live by faith. Where does that come from? Leviticus 18. So let's first of all then go to the book of Habakkuk and see what it's saying here when it says, no one is justified by in the law of the sight of God because it's evident for the just to live by faith. So back to the book of Habakkuk. It's a so-called minor prophet, as we see. And what's going on here? Now, I'm not going to say too much because the next time Mr. Pentland comes over, he's giving an entire sermon on the book of Habakkuk. Unless he's been here already with that. I think he didn't give that one. It was during the days of unleavened bread. So Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Here we go. Now, we'll take a look at this and do a quick summary, okay? Habakkuk, chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. What is he talking about? Now, again, Paul expects his audience to know this book. And we should, when we read that section of Scripture, go back and read the entire book. But he says there is strife at the end of verse 3, chapter 1, 3. There is strife and contention that arises. Therefore, the law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. By the way, the word just means righteous. The wicked are surrounding the just, the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgments proceeds, okay? In other words, there are a lot more wicked than there are the righteous. They surround them like ganging up on the righteous, okay? So they have, the righteous don't have a chance. If there were a war, if there was a gang fight here, you'd have the righteous taken out right away. But he's basically saying, in that culture, in that environment, during that period of time, the people are wicked and there is no justice at all. And just to let you know, with Habakkuk, you have God bringing a worse people down, very wicked people down to take them out. Because God hates what the Israelites are doing. And Habakkuk is having, or Habakkuk, however you pronounce it, he's having a rough time with it because why are you taking a more evil nation to take out Israel? Just take them out yourself, okay? So he's having a problem with that. But notice here in chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. He is not right. He is not just. He's not obeying God's law. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, as we go through this, we ask the question, in the book of Habakkuk, is God promoting the commandments, or is he saying, faith is enough? Is he saying, look, if you want to be just, you must obey my law? And, of course, we know that is what he's saying as you go through here. The just shall live by faith. This is what Paul quotes. Going on here, in there's five woes that are given here in verse 6 of chapter 3, or chapter 2, excuse me. Woe to him who increases what is not his. In other words, he's taking, he's stealing, he's breaking the commandment. Right? So there's one commandment being broken. Woe to him who breaks the commandment, who takes what is not his. And then in verse 9, woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. That's the 10th commandment. And that's also idolatry. It's breaking the second commandment. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed. Is God against breaking the 6th commandment, killing? And the answer is absolutely. So is God promoting keeping the commandments, or he's saying there's a curse if you don't keep these commandments? Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. Get someone drunk so you can rape them, basically, is what it's saying. Take advantage of of them sexually, this is what it's saying. So what command are you breaking? You're breaking the seventh commandment. So these are the woes, verse 18. What profit is the image that its maker, and this is still chapter 2, verse 18. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it, the molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols? So I'll just give you that much, and you can go through the whole book, but you can see some of the problems that Israel had and why they were going to be taken out by the Assyrians. I believe it was the Assyrians that were going to come down, or was it the Babylonians at this time? I have to look at my history on that. But whatever the case, you have a very evil nation that is taking them out. Paul is quoting from an area where he says, the righteous, if you're righteous, you better live by faith in God, not meaning that, oh, just have faith and you can have all your sins taken away. You don't need to worry about keeping the commandments. But do we need to ask the question here, what did they have in place during this time? What law of works did they have in place? What law of ergon, E-R-G-O-N? What law did they have in place? Now, if you're not sure what laws are being talked about, there's actually a good fundamental belief that Mr. Franks went through, and he had a handout. I don't know that he mentioned it actually in what he was going through, but he had a handout on works of law. And in that, he showed how more and more scholars are coming to understand that works of law would be the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. So you might want to go back and listen to the latest fundamentals, download the handout to see what it's talking about in Galatians. But we can ask the question, if you had works of law, if you had the temple, and you did animal sacrifices when you sinned, was that going to help you keep the law? What helps us keep the law? Which sacrifice, actually, is what Paul is going to be coming to in the book of Galatians. Which sacrifice enables you to keep the law of God? And I guarantee you it was not the law of sacrifice, which is they didn't even keep anyway. Which sacrifice was it? Because what we're coming to in verse 14 of Galatians is Christ became a curse for us, and then he explains what that curse is. The curse was simply, and we'll come to it, we'll hold off on that. It was a curse, and it was simply, he describes it very definitively. Okay, so the book of Habakkuk tells us we should keep the commandments or we should not. That if we're righteous, we live by faith. It does take faith, but the righteous live by faith. So having faith ends up in being righteous, is what it's saying. Having faith ends up. Now, in the world today, it's faith in Christ. And is there any righteousness out there? We rented a car from Spokane to go up to Banff, and talking to Cliff beforehand, and he said, well, was it the car that they used to get around the environmental green, keeping the planet pure, because Volkswagen did that, and I said, but come, people don't do that, do they? They're righteous. They're going to keep all the laws of God. The German manufacturers are going to say, oh yeah, we have specifications for the United States. We will keep those specifications. Absolutely. Right? And the answer is no. There's no righteousness in the land at all. So with the book of Habakkuk then, did animal sacrifices help them keep the law? And the answer is no, absolutely not, did not. Let's go to Leviticus 18, because now that's mentioned in the book of Galatians. Leviticus chapter 18, I'm pretty sure that's where they're quoting from. But with age and Alzheimer's, sometimes things can get lost, but I'm pretty sure it's Leviticus 18 and verse 5. Okay, in the chapter subheading here, we have the laws of sexual sins. Actually, it's the chapter heading. The law of sexual sins. In this chapter, you have five commandments that are mentioned that are broken. Five. Five commandments that are broken. And you have, I forget how many statutes or judgments, I think it's something like 21 admonitions against breaking God's law. Now here, Paul is quoting from a section that Protestants use to say we don't have to keep the commandments. And he is quoting verse 5. But let's start in verse 1. Speak to, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I'm the Lord your God, I'm your master, Lord. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. Why? Because they did everything, including abominations. They did everything wrong. They were breaking all the commandments. Idolatry, look what they did 3 days out, Mr. Smith said. 3 days out, they were just moaning, complaining, and breaking God's law. I don't want you to do that. I want you to follow my ordinances, verse 3. Verse 4, you shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. Verse 5, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Is that good or bad now? Is that something God says we should be doing? Should we be doing it now? Why would Paul be quoting this if he's saying we have to just have faith? And actually, just have faith, I'm taking it from the standpoint of the world's description on that. Because absolutely, it is faith. We're not getting rid of that. But the definition of faith, of course, is so very important here. The just shall live by faith is good. You have faith that what God is telling you is correct and you better follow his ways. Right? That's what you have faith in. God knows what he's doing. Is there any nation that has the laws? God told the second generation that was about to go into the promised land, any nation that has laws like I've given this nation, where if you walk in them, you will be healed, you won't have the diseases, you won't have the problems of the nation. So you go into this, and basically here it's concerning sexual sins. And by the way, the problem with the Corinthians is a young man had taken his father's wife, and that's listed here in chapter 18. You cannot take your father's wife, marriage, and it wouldn't be his mother in this case. It would have been his stepmother. And like I've said before, probably his father had died. You can see the problem, too, when I think it was, one of the brothers of Solomon who wanted Bathsheba. And that wasn't to be done either. Bathsheba was considered the wife of David. So you don't do that either. But anyway, they're all listed here, 21 admonitions. And then it talks about you get into perversion with all of this also, but it gets into idolatry. But you can read it and you can see the list, and it is five commandments that are being broken just in Leviticus 18 if you don't follow God's admonitions. There are five. So now Paul is quoting this, the just shall live by faith. Good or bad? Okay, here, what were they not doing? Leviticus is the chapter where it talks about the sacrificial system. Were anything that they did back there with the law of sacrifices, did that help them keep these laws in Leviticus 18? And the answer is no. Didn't help them. Now you might say too that you cannot keep these laws if you don't have faith. And you would have to conclude too, you can only have faith if you have God's Holy Spirit. Because God said after he gave them the commandments, you don't have a heart in you to keep the commandments. But is there anything against any of the laws? It's faith so that we can keep the commandments. Faith is very, very crucial. But you take a look at this, and for you young people also, remember, Satan the devil wants us to believe that you don't keep God's law. And somehow it's like God's law is bad. The God of the Old Testament is a horrible God. And Jesus Christ comes along, and now he's good, and he's merciful, and he's done everything for you, and he's paid the penalty, and everything's all right, and you don't have to worry about it. In fact, God doesn't give a crap about the Sabbath. By the way, that's a quote from somebody, so it's not mine. But I actually heard out of the mouth of a young man. And it's like, whoa, you know, God doesn't give a crap about you stealing. He doesn't give a blank. I won't use the word continually here, but that's the way the world thinks. And yet at the same time, we can follow the cow's example where it says, tell them the cow set you, you know, you got to. Organization, what place is that? Anyway, they closed down on Sunday, and now we say, oh, isn't that great? They're really religious. They closed down all on Sunday. Well, you mean God does give a C about keeping a holy day because it's really great if you close down your business on Sunday? So which is it? Close it down on Monday. Take the day of the week where you have the least business and close it down because it doesn't matter. Monday, or not Monday noon to Tuesday noon, take the period of time, you know, or just close it down midnight to 8 three times, and that's 24 hours, and you can worship God during those 3 8-hour periods. I mean, you can come up with anything you want. What is the name of that place? Chicken Filet? Filet Chicken or something like? Chick-fil-A. There we go. Okay. Yeah, I saw a new one yesterday, too, that's out there on the advertising boards, and I can't remember what it was, but it was really good. Oh, God doesn't care something about what type of protein you eat. You eat chicken or something like that. It's a cow, you know, advertising there, but whatever. Okay, so we've gone through now Habakkuk, we've gone through Leviticus 18. Now where do we go? And we've asked the question, keep the commandments or don't keep the commandments? Well, what about this curse? So we're going to back to Galatians now. We're kind of filling in as we go with the background. We basically came to the man who does them shall live by them. Okay, verse 12, that was Leviticus 18. Galatians 3 and verse 12. The man who does them shall live by them. Okay, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Okay, what is it describing here when it tells us Christ became a curse for us? Well, it's describing just one thing, and I shouldn't say just, because I don't want to diminish the sacrifice of Christ, but it's describing the way Christ was killed, and that is, he hung on a stake or a cross, whichever it was. So he was a sacrifice for us. Now, why mention that he became a sacrifice for us? Because there were sacrifices that the Judaizers thought would be instrumental in helping you when you sin. And I could give you a little background of Galatians, but basically, is Christ the author of sin? When you sin, even though you are trusting in Christ to overcome and grow, and then you sin, is Christ the one responsible for it? And so the Judaizers basically were saying, that's not good enough, we need something more. You have to have the whole system, the ritual system of the Old Testament, if you want to make this good, because it's not good enough. Since, you see, we're still sinning. Well, then you've got to go into the temple. Circumcision allowed you to get into the temple and have this ergon, this works of the law. So basically, you have a comparison here now between works of law and a sacrifice of Christ. If only we were there, the Galatians knew what Paul was talking about. The Galatians knew what the Judaizers were doing, and they wanted them to keep the law, and they weren't even doing it themselves. And is that the commandments? And the answer is they weren't talking about the commandments at all. And I might throw this in. There's a scripture in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7:19, which says, concerning the commandments, it says circumcision is nothing. Excuse me. Yes, it would be concerning the commandments. A circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments is necessary. One of the key verses when you come to the book of Galatians. So Paul would not be talking anything against the commandments. Paul mentions love. The one word, love. Love is the keeping of the commandments. So Paul is not talking about commandments at all. Okay, so we go on now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now he has redeemed us from what? He bought us back from the penalty of sin, okay? He brought us back from that. He brought us out of that world where we're sinning. Redeem means to purchase or buy back. How did he do it? By becoming a sacrifice. That's how he did it. And what we're going to do here is to go to Romans chapter 5. Just keep your finger in Romans 3. Galatians 3, how's that? And I'll give you another key verse. Romans chapter, have I lost you? Okay. I'll send this out to you. Did you get the other one that I sent? Was it clear? Don't do this. I had a guy one time who was my boss, and I talked to him, should I do this or that? And he went, and I never knew what to do. Never. What should I do? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And your maybe be maybe. All three. So Romans 5 is really a key when it comes down to what the sacrifice of Christ did. Verse 18. As through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, that's Adam, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, okay, this is the sacrifice that is being talked about in Galatians 3. Through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. What was that? The Holy Spirit. Romans 5:18. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, the Holy Spirit is available to all men once they're called, resulting in being made right. So again, you have, Paul is writing, so it's his writing here and you're just combining them. He knows what the sacrifice that he's talking about in Galatians 3 is talking about. The curse is a sacrifice. He knows where he's leading, and that is Holy Spirit being made right. In other words, we know that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it. Works of law, meaning those other sacrifices, are not going to do it, but the sacrifice of Christ will lead to having the Holy Spirit. Have you repented of your sins? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That sacrifice, then because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, I now baptize you for the remission of sins so that you can receive the Holy Spirit, laying on of hands. It's that order, right? So keep that in mind always, Romans 5 and verse 18. So let's go back to Galatians 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's death. The curse of the law is death. Now, is the curse of the law death, or is the curse of breaking the law death? And the answer is the curse of breaking the law. And that's why we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. You are never cursed by keeping the law of God. Unless you are like Job and you say it's all because of me and I'm the one who's doing this all by myself. Then you're going to be a curse on you. But if we always honor God and we say, God made me, God created me, God is the one who called me, God is the one who gave me his Holy Spirit so that I can follow his ways, you're in good shape. But never a problem with the commandments themselves. Okay, so Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's why the curse. That's what the curse relates to, the sacrifice. Okay? That the blessing of Abraham. Now let's take a look at this word, blessing. What is the blessing of Abraham? He's picking it up from verse 8 where it says, God justifies the nations by faith. He preached the gospel to Abraham saying, and you all nations shall be blessed. Okay, there's two blessings that come through Jesus Christ. One is inheritance in the kingdom of God. The other is departing from sin. Those two are the two. And when you see this quote taken from Genesis 12 and follow it through, right here in this book in Galatians 3, you see that one of those blessings is inheritance. The other one is departing from sin. And this, it all blends together. So the blessing, and Matthew 5, we could, if I really want to confuse you and throw all of this stuff out, the first message that Jesus Christ ever gave was the blessings. Since he would be the one through whom the blessings would come, you have Matthew 5 as his first major speech, I guess you could call it. His witness. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. And it all came down to kingdom of God and departing from sin. If you look at Matthew 5, those two things. What does Matthew 6:33 tell us? Seek you first the kingdom of God. Okay, that's one of the blessings. And his righteousness, that's the other blessing. You got two. You got two. Those are the blessings that would come through Jesus Christ. So just on this then, Acts 5, and if you already don't know that this is one of my favorite scriptures, since I've only used it 5,000 times in the last year, not that many, I'm exaggerating, but Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 25 and 26. No, that's Acts 3, I'm sorry. Acts 3, verse 25 and 26. You're the sons of the prophets, and this is Peter talking. You're the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What blessing is this? To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, that raised up meaning he had to come out of the grave for this blessing to take place. He couldn't stay in the grave because remember, if he had not been raised from the grave, we find Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 15 that you are still in your sins. Right? So, came to bless you, how? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So now the question we have, is Paul saying here that Christ did everything for us, or is he saying Christ became a curse, he became a sacrifice so that you could depart from your iniquities? And the answer is, that's it. So you can depart from your iniquities. Then it goes on to say, notice that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So faith, through faith in Christ, we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And again, we come back to that covenant that we make when we're baptized. Okay, are we good to hear? You're supposed to all go like this so we, you know, don't go back. And what I'll do is I'll open this up. When we have a general Bible study, I'm going to open it up to questions, so put your questions down on this too. Let's go back up to verse 10. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, he's quoting from Deuteronomy 27:26. Deuteronomy 27:26. So we're going to take you on a trip. And you might say you've already taken us on a trip and we don't even know where we're at. So we'll give you that. But again, brethren, Paul did write things hard to be understood. And it is important to know the background of all of this so that we can understand. If we don't know the background, we're going to take a look at it, and we're going to look at it just like the Protestants do, and it's going to catch us, and it's going to take us out of the church. Now, I say that without a background to it, a good understanding have all those who are obeying God's commandments. So that's basic to it all. No one goes out of the church who are obedient to God's commandments for striving to obey God, because then we have good understanding. And that's very important. And there are other factors here too. We certainly don't want to be bitter. Of course, bitterness is sin. That would take us out of the church too. Revenge, that's sin. That would take us out of the church too. So it all comes back to sin. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And by the way, this section of Scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, is called the law of God, the law. So that's the general statement here. In chapter 27, Paul is reminding the Israelites, we know here in Deuteronomy, Deuter is always a second, so it's a second reading of the law before the children of Israel go into the promised land. Second time the Ten Commandments are given. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. So here is Paul's quote. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. Is Paul quoting this because he's for keeping the commandments or because he's against keeping the commandments? Now, chapter 28, we go through the curses for disobedience. So that's where it heads. And we go to the blessings for obedience. Okay? That's chapter 28. Chapter 29, we can go through that. Verse 4 of chapter 29, the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. So they're having a problem with it back in Deuteronomy. Those people who are coming out, even the children who are coming out, still did not, even though they were obedient, and Israel basically was obedient until the last judge under Joshua, Caleb and Joshua died. And then they went bananas once again. They just started disobeying. That's what they did. You can read the history. But he talks about the chapter 29, about the covenant, verse 1, 29:1, the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Okay? And yet, they had not obeyed. Then in verse 12, that you may enter into the covenant which the Lord your God, with the Lord your God, and into his oath. This is chapter 29 and verse 12. That you may be a people for God, in verse 13. He may be God to you, just as he sworn to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Verse 25 of chapter 29. Verse 25. Then men would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord of their fathers. All of this section here concerning the cursing is breaking the covenant of God. Then verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Right? So are we going to do it or are we not going to do it? He's quoting that there are curses for breaking the law. He just kind of wrapped this whole set of chapters up into verse 26 of Deuteronomy 27. You're accursed if you don't keep the law. Now, this is interesting because in Deuteronomy 30, he's going to reveal something. He's going to reveal how you can keep the law. And Paul is actually going to take this section in Deuteronomy 30 and he's going to repeat it in Romans. He's going to do it. And I'm only bringing this out to show you that Paul is still for commandment keeping. Here's a mystery in Deuteronomy. There's a mystery that will be revealed. And notice what that mystery is. Let's go down to chapter 30 and verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants so that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Is Paul for or again? I keep coming back to that. Verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law. This is a mystery that will be revealed now. He's telling them, he's prophesying about something. Verse 11. This commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. Verse 12. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for it, bring it to us that we may hear and do it? Hear and do it. Hear and do it. Now, can we answer that question? What is Paul saying here with his, what is God revealing to the Israelites? Well, we'll see in a minute. Verse 14, the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and death, good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, walk in his way and keep his commandments, that you may live and multiply. Verse 17, if your heart turn away, you have problems. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, obey his voice and cling to him, for he is your life. Okay, what's the mystery revealed here? How are we going to keep the commandments? Let's go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Because Paul is quoting from this section. Romans chapter 10. And you're all looking at your watches maybe saying, how much longer do we have to go on this? I hope not. Romans 10. Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So what was it that trips people up with Paul's writings? They don't have knowledge. No righteousness. They don't have righteousness because it's not according to God's knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness. And if you see in Romans 1 and 2, it tells you how they just went after other gods. They didn't follow God's way of life. Seeking to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the goal of the law. The telos, T-E-L-O-S, means he's the one to follow. The world takes this and, of course, says he did it for us. He ended the law. Matthew 5 tells us that that's not the way it is. Not one jot nor one tittle will be taken out of the law of God till all is fulfilled. For Christ is the goal of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. I believe also it's talking about the sacrifice of Christ, not just his way of life, but also the sacrifice of Christ compared to the sacrifices they had. But whatever the case, he lived a righteous life. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. Here we have it again. The man who does those things shall live by them. The same quote that we have in Galatians, right? You with me? Same quote. Okay, so where does he go with it? But the righteousness of faith, and now but, should be not be but. B-U-T should not be but. The word should be and. And the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. It's not a contrary word, okay? I think it's 57% of the time it's used as an opposite, and 43% of the time it's used as, okay, a conjunction of equal value, right? So you have and, okay, you want to know how to be righteous? And the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Okay, now we have this from Deuteronomy. Remember we read this in Deuteronomy? And it's from that section. So Paul explains what it means when it says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. As we read that back in Deuteronomy. The meaning is, That is to bring Christ down from heaven. Or who will ascend into the abyss? Now Paul gives the explanation of Deuteronomy 30. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Okay, so Christ is sent by God from heaven, and he comes up from the dead so that we can be, what does the scripture say? We're justified by his life. So we can be justified, so we can be made right. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. What's he talking about? The new covenant. The new covenant is going to be established. The law of God is going to be placed in your heart. And it's not going to come through any sacrifice that was established in the Old Testament at all. It's not. And you might extrapolate on that or expand it, and you might say, you can't do it yourself. But it is not doing away with commandments at all in any of these scriptures. So I'll leave that right there just to tell us that the explanation is, in the Old Testament, the way we're going to keep the commandments is through the sacrifice of Christ. So let's go back one more time to Galatians chapter 3. As many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. Meaning, the works of the law is not, the sacrifices of the Old Testament is not going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now some might say, well, this is talking about keeping the commandments and, wait a minute here. How can it be talking about that? When circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments. And the word, one word, love, where it talks about later on in chapter 5, you know, all the laws fulfilled in one word, love, which is keeping of the commandments. So here a person would say, well, the works of the law are under the curse, meaning what? That you have to keep all the commandments perfectly. There is nothing in the Bible that ever tells us that we're going to have eternal death if we slip and fall and break a commandment. It is the unpardonable sin that ends you up in the lake of fire. Not just sin. It's going to be the unpardonable sin after receiving the Holy Spirit. How many of you think that you, the day before you die, you will have it all together and you will not, you know, everything's taken care of? And the answer is, Jesus Christ died so that we can practice righteousness. Practice righteousness. Okay? He died for our sins so that we can depart from iniquity. And that's why he died for our sins. That's why he went on the cross. So, as many are of the curse. And we could go back, and if I had time, I would start in chapter 3, verse 1, and show you that it's the Holy Spirit writing the law of God in our hearts in verses 1 through 5. Very clear. Right? We're going to be tested on this. If you want to enter the pearly gates, you got to get an A minus. But we could go back, and we'll cover this in more detail. I just don't want us brethren to get caught up in Protestant theology where they say commandments are not necessary. Okay, so many of the works are under the curse, for it's written in all things which are written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Is that bad or good? The answer is, the just shall live by faith. No one is justified by which law? Follow it back. Follow it back in Galatians and it'll tell you exactly which law it's talking about. Why does it say in Romans 2 and what is it, verse 13, the doers of the law are justified? The doers of the law are justified. So you can't have it both ways where they're not justified, but they are justified. No, the doers of the law are justified, but the doers of the sacrificial law are not justified. Very important difference in all of that. And then you can follow it through to the end here. And the bottom line is the blessing of Abraham, meaning the blessing that would come through Christ so that we could inherit the kingdom of God and depart from iniquity, is going to come through the promise of the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit. And that comes through faith. Okay, I think I've given enough milk of the word today. There is no milk with the Apostle Paul. It's just it's amazing what he wrote. So anyway, I'll have more information for you on that. But I did want to give a sermon on this section of Scripture so that we would all understand what is not being said here. It is not being said that you don't keep the commandments, that by keeping the commandments you will never be justified. Because we know you must keep the commandments to be justified. Absolutely. But only through the sacrifice, the right sacrifice, not the wrong one.